morning's scripture reading is Ruth 1:15-17. Ruth 15-17. And she said, "Behold, thy sister-in-law is gone back unto her people and unto her gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law." And Ruth said, "Entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, thy God, my God. Where thou diest, I will die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee and me."
Thank you for choosing to be here this morning. When we think about it, the reason we're here this morning is because we made a choice to be here. At some point this morning, we chose to get ready, get in the car, to come here to gather and worship. Life is all about choices. We have choices that we have to make every single day. We have probably talked to our children about the choices that they make. And while the choices that our children make may be limited, parents are working to prepare their children for the day when they will have to make all of their choices. As adults, we make changes and are faced with choices each and every day. Some may have little impact on our lives. Others can have an enormous impact, not only on ourselves, but others as well. This morning, our lesson has to do with making a choice. Our text comes from the book of Ruth. And so if you'll turn to Ruth in your Bibles, we will only stray a bit in the book of John later. But for the most part, we will be here in the book of Ruth. And we're going to start off not so much reading the text, but walking through the events that we find there. In the very beginning of the book of Ruth, we find that this was during the time of the judges. And there was a famine in Judah, particularly around the town of Bethlehem. A man by the name of Elimelech, I practiced that all morning and still haven't got it right. He took his wife Naomi and their two sons and they went to Moab to stay for a while. While they were there, Elimelech, he died, leaving Naomi a widow with her two sons. These two sons married women from Moab by the name of Orpah and Ruth. And in just a matter of years, Naomi's sons died, leaving her on her own with the exception of her daughters-in-law. Now, when Naomi heard that the famine in Judah was over, she decided to go home. And as she was getting ready to make the trip home, she told Orpah and Ruth that they needed to go back to their homes as well. In verses 8 and 9 of Ruth chapter 1, she said, "Go return each of you to your mother's houses. May the Lord deal kindly with you as you have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant that you may find rest, each of you in the house of your husband." Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voice and wept. Orpah and Ruth both refused to leave Naomi. But Naomi continued to tell them that there was nothing for them where she was going. She told them that they had no future with her, that she had no more sons to give them, and if by a miracle she was able to have children, by the time those sons got to the age where they could marry, these two ladies would not wait around for that time. She went so far as to say that they needed to stay away because it appeared that God was against them. It was at this point that Orpha left and went back home. But Ruth had refused to leave. She told Naomi that she would not leave her, that she would live where Naomi lived, die where Naomi died, that God, the God of Israel, would be her God, and nothing but death would keep her away. It was at this point that Naomi realized that she was fighting a losing battle. So she didn't say anything else, but they returned to Bethlehem. It was during this return that the town of Bethlehem was stirred. Being away so long, it causes people to talk. 10 years. For 10 years that they were gone. And when Naomi left, she was married and had two sons. And now she was alone, with the exception of this foreigner that was with her. And when they said, "Is this Naomi?" she replied, "Do not call me Naomi, call me Mara," which means bitter, "for the Almighty has dealt bitterly with me." Now, as this account continues, it was during the barley harvest that Ruth decided to go work, provide for her mother-in-law. She went to the field, gathered grain that was left behind by the reapers. The field that she was working in belonged to a relative of Elimelech's, name of Boaz. Now, he wanted to know who she was and where she came from. And one of the workers had told him that she was Naomi's daughter-in-law and that she had been working all day to help provide for Naomi. It was at this point that Boaz told her that she needed to stay with his group in the field. There is a point for this. Working in the field as a single, and especially as a foreign woman, was a rather dangerous thing to do. And Boaz told his workers to make sure that she was okay. When she asked Boaz why he was being so nice, especially to a foreigner, in Ruth chapter 2 and verses 11 and 12, he said, "All that you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband has been fully told to me. And how you left your father and mother and your native land and came to a people that you did not know before you. The Lord repay you for what you've done, and a full reward be given to you by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge." It was at this point that Boaz gave her some of his food for her to eat, as well as the leftovers that she was able to take home to Naomi. He also told his workers to leave a little extra behind so that Ruth would have more to harvest. Ruth continued to work the fields both through the barley and the wheat harvest. Naomi told Ruth that Boaz was a relative and as such a redeemer. Now, according to the law of Moses, if a man died and left a widow without children, a close relative was to marry the widow, to raise the children with her so that the family name can continue. And as this account progresses, Naomi sent Ruth to the threshing floor where Boaz would be and told her to go through a series of steps to see what would happen. And Ruth had done everything that Naomi had said to do. and then asked Boaz to redeem her. Now, Boaz told her that there was another relative that was closer, but that he would go and ask, and if he would not redeem her, that Boaz would. As it continues, Boaz, not to let any grass grow under his feet, spoke to this unnamed man and told him that Naomi was selling the land that belonged to Elimelech, and asked if he would buy it. And when this man was told that Ruth came along with the deal, he refused. So Boaz bought the land and redeemed Ruth. He married her. They had a son whose name was Obed, whose son would be Jesse, whose son would be David, the king of Israel. When you read the book of Ruth, you have to really appreciate just how wonderful this account is. When we look at the first part of the book, we find things like famine, death, poverty, loneliness, suffering, and hopelessness. But by the time we get through the book, we find life and blessings, hope, joy, and a future. But standing in the middle of these two groups, these groups that are opposites of each other, we find a choice. A choice that was made by a young Moabite widow. It was the choice of relentless love and devotion. Let's go back to chapter 1, verses 16 through 18. Let's look at those again. But Ruth said, "Do not urge me to leave you or return from following you, for where you go and where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, your God my God. Where you die, I will die, and where there I will be buried. May the Lord do so to me, and more so also, if anything but death parts me from you." And when Naomi saw that she was determined to go with her, she said no more. Sometimes this choice of unrelentless love is made in some unpleasant situations. I think it's fair to say that Orpha loved Naomi. When Naomi first tells her daughter-in-laws to go home, verses 9 and 10 said that they both wept. They both had said no. They both said that they would return with her to her people. But when Naomi explained to them that she had nothing to give, that there was nothing for them with her, and that even God was against them, Orpha went home. But Ruth stayed. She chose to stay. Don't we do that sometimes? It's easy for us to say we love someone when things are going well. It's easy to love someone when they are treating us the way we believe we should be treated. But it takes a disciplined choice on our part to love someone when things turn ugly. Maybe when we've been rejected, pushed away, dismissed, ridiculed, we have a choice. We can turn away from that person, or we can choose to, like Ruth says in effect, "I don't care. I'm going to love you whether you want me to or not." Relentless love defines who we are. Ruth chapter 2, starting in verse 8. Then Boaz said to Ruth, "Now listen, my daughter. Do not go to glean any other field or leave this one, but keep close to my young women. Let your eyes be on the field that they are reaping and go after them. Have I not charged the young men not to touch you? And when you are thirsty, go to the vessels and drink what the young men have drawn. Then she fell on her face. Bowing to the ground, she said to him, Why have I found favor in your eyes, that you should take note of me since I am a foreigner? Boaz answered her, All that you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband has been fully told to me. How you left your mother and father and your native land and came to a people that you did not know before. The Lord repay you for what you have done, and a full reward be given you by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge. Then she said, I have found favor in your eyes, my Lord, for you have comforted me and spoken kindly to your servant, though I am not one of your servants. I hope you've caught the essence of these verses. When Ruth asked Boaz why he was treating her so well, the answer, in short, was because he heard of her relentless love for Naomi. Isn't that what we are to be known for? Can you imagine how great it would be if someone were to ask us where we go to church, and we told them we go to the Malden Church of Christ, and they would reply, oh, that's the church that loves so much. Wouldn't it be great if the people we met could tell right away that we belong to Christ because of our relentless love for others? That's the way it should be. That is what Jesus said in John chapter 13. In verses 34 and 35, he said, A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you're my disciples if you have love one for another. God's kingdom will grow when we exhibit relentless love. But friends, it begins with a choice that we must make every single day. Take a look at the life of Naomi. She left Bethlehem with her husband and two sons. The name Naomi means pleasant. And yet, in a very short time, in the grand scheme of things, she was left a widow in a foreign land. From what she says in a couple of places, it seems as if her faith in God has left. Verses 11 through 15 of Ruth chapter 1, we can get this feeling. But Naomi said, Turn back, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Have I yet sons in my womb that they may become your husbands? Turn back, my daughters. Go your way, for I am too old to have a husband. And if I should say I have hope, even if I should have a husband this night and bear sons, would you therefore wait until they are grown? Would you therefore refrain from marriage? No, my daughters, for it is exceedingly bitter to me for your sake that the hand of the Lord has gone out against me. And they lifted up their voices and wept again. And Orpha kissed her mother-in-law, and Ruth clung to her. And she said, See, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and her gods. Return after your sister-in-law. Now go down to verse 20 and 21. And she said to them, Do not call me Naomi, call me Mara, for the Almighty has dealt bitterly with me. I went away full, and the Lord has brought me back empty. Why call me Naomi, when the Lord has testified against me, and the Almighty has brought calamity upon me? In And in chapter 2, after Ruth told her about meeting Boaz, in verse 20 she says, Naomi said to her daughter-in-law, "May he be blessed by the Lord whose kindness has not forsaken the living or the dead." You know, by the end of the book, we find Naomi sitting with her grandson Obed in her lap and seeing the faithfulness and the blessing of God. What made the difference? The answer is in verse 14 and 15 of Ruth chapter 4. "And then the women said to Naomi, 'Blessed be the Lord who has not left you this day without a redeemer. And may his name be renowned in Israel. He shall be to you a restorer of life and a nourisher of your old age. For your daughter-in-law who loves you, who is more to you than seven sons, has given birth to him.'" Catch what the difference was? The difference was the relentless love that Ruth had for Naomi. All of us know someone who were at once very faithful, who were very involved in the work of the Lord, but who have turned away. They have left the God that they were faithful to. And one of the things that will bring them back to the feet of Christ himself is the relentless love shown to them by God's people, you and I. These people may have gone through some very hard obstacles. They may have been suffering very deeply or having tremendous difficulties. Something that has caused their faith to have been weakened. But it is up to us to love them with the same kind of love, the same kind of relentless love that was exhibited by Ruth. Not only will relentless love help turn someone who has wandered away, but it is also a way for us to bring others to Christ. In John chapter 17, starting in verse 20 and going through verse 23, Jesus prayed for the unity of his believers. He said, "I do not ask for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory that you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one even as we are one, I and them, and you and me, that they may become perfectly one, so that the world may know that you sent me and loved them even as you have loved me." In very simple terms, these verses tell us that the world will know him and who he is when we are one. We cannot be one, we cannot have unity that Christ speaks about unless we are willing to love each other relentlessly. And that means forgiving relentlessly, encouraging relentlessly, lifting up relentlessly, correcting and serving one another relentlessly. And the choice is, are we willing to do this? The book tells a wonderful narrative of the power of relentless love. And in that very first verse, the author tells us that it took place at the time of the judges. And the book of Judges chronicles for us the recurring pattern of the Israelites, who would follow and obey God and then turn away and serve other gods. God would allow them to be ruled by their enemies for a while, and then when they cried out to God, he would raise up a judge, and God would save them. And according to chapter 2 in Judges in verse 19, it talks about this repeated pattern. That the people, after a judge dies, would return back to their wicked way. But you know what? God still loved them. God still loves his people the same relentless way today. He still calls through his word. He still saves and can still do miraculous things through his people who give themselves completely to him. If you are here this morning and are away from God because you never made the choice to become his child, please know that he still calls. And he can still save because of his relentless love for us. He has given us one more opportunity to come and be his. Now, if you are a child of God and you're in the middle of some circumstances that have weakened your faith, maybe to the point that you've begun to wander away. Or maybe in your life you have done some things that you know God would not approve. We need to realize and know that he still calls. That he can still save because of his relentless love. For all of us, the challenge we leave with is to begin today and make a choice that every day we will love relentlessly. Whatever need you have this day, won't you come as together we stand and we sing.